Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thanks so much.
Excellent. Pleasure to have you. So when did people start associating bad emotions like anger or sadness with feeling guilty over them?
That's a great question. I'm not sure we know exactly what age the kind of the acculturation or the learning of good emotions and bad emotions happens, but certainly it is rife through parenting. If you flip through any kids' books, it's pretty clear that we are teaching our kids really early about which emotions to feel and when. And sometimes that message includes lessons like, you know, don't feel angry, right? So we can teach our kids very early about the negativity of negative emotions. And certainly the research that you mentioned a moment ago, by the time people are adults, they have adopted the lessons of the society in which they live. And it turns out societies like Australia and those in North America have a pretty strong message about, you know, feeling happy and feeling positive all the time is the ideal.
Yeah, especially with relationships, not just with, you know, romantic relationships between partners, but also with, you know, parent-child relationships. What are the consequences of unresolved emotional health with those situations when things go poorly?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting question. I mean, one of the main messages out of the most recent work on emotion is that the full range of the emotions that we experience are actually pretty important, and together they form a system that helps us navigate our world, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily that bad emotions are bad to experience, presuming they're experienced in the right context and are managed in an effective way. There is some research to suggest that if you kind of buck against your cultural norms, so let's say you lived in a culture that said you should never feel angry, and you didn't go along with that does come with psychological consequences within a relationship and for well-being more broadly. So you do kind of want to fit within your culture, and that lack of fit can drive some pretty negative outcomes.
Yeah. Does chasing happiness make us unhappier overall when we're not there yet? We haven't reached that kind of societal image of happiness?
That's such a good question. And of course, a lot of the messaging that we get through social media, as you mentioned, and broadly through society is about how to be happier. Mm. And there are times and places, of course, that we want to seek positive emotions. There is work suggesting that if you live in a society that has that value placed really strongly and you aren't happy, that you actually suffer more psychologically, kind of this gap between what the ideal is and what you actually are.
Yeah.
But what I would say is that there's kind of a broader picture, maybe a broader point to make here about chasing happiness. That research suggests that instead of chasing happiness, maybe what we should be doing is pursuing well-being more broadly, that happiness is only one component of kind of being a well-functioning person.
How can we, in kind of embracing that broader scope of well-being, how can we embrace negative emotions? Is that something that's feasible for the regular person?
Yeah, I think recognizing, kind of like I said a moment ago, recognizing that negative emotions are part and parcel of everyday psychological life, that they're not something to be avoided or tamped down, can lead to a much more productive psychological space. And I think that increasingly what we know is that there are techniques, rather than saying, I'm experiencing a negative state, I must quickly get out of it, but rather to reflect on the reasons why you're experiencing that state at that moment and explore that tends to be a more productive approach.
Mm. Yeah, and on the other end of the emotional spectrum, how can we change our phrasing, such as these stories saying, you know, look on the bright side, good vibes only. How can we change that to express, you know, hope and validation in supporting others rather than this kind of toxic positivity?
Yeah, I think maybe a part of that is recognizing that happiness isn't really the end goal. It's kind of an indicator, right? So if we point out that maybe in the face of a challenging time, that someone can experience negative emotions, but that there likely will be a time where positive emotions happen too. Broadly, where we're trying to get is a point of well-being, that that more holistic view is probably a better message to people, and there is hope or, as you say, validation in that, rather than simply kind of put on a smile and it'll all be better, which is not a terribly productive message.
Yeah. Put on a file and it'll all be better. Yeah, pretty much. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Lisa. That was Dr. Lisa Williams, Senior Lecturer in the School of Psychology from the University of New South Wales. Thank you for joining me today, Lisa. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Mm-hmm.